I'm at the home of Jason Jarrett, a buddhistpodcast.com, a Buddhism podcast that's been going for 5 years now. Him and his wife put it together. Hello, Jason.
Hello, Phil.
So we've been doing a little bit of behind the scenes work for a Buddhist podcast over the weekend. We did a live stream last night, which was most enjoyable because we had four or five people turn up. And that was great for you to see your faces like, oh, people are there, you know. That interactive stuff is going to be new to the Buddhist podcast. You've been going 5 years now. You're in 100 countries. Popular show. What next for the Buddhist podcast? Where would you like to see it go?
Where would I like to see it go? I'd like to see us having more contributors. I want to do some interviews. I'd like to go to Japan and interview some members who've been practicing for, you know, 40, 50 years or 60 years. You know, people who've got a lot of experience, people from some of the historic kind of times when Buddhism really developed and grew, started to grow in the modern age, before they die. You know, I'd quite like to get some of those memories and some of those experiences down. I think Cameron's going to be doing some more stuff in the future, you know, more stuff on the show. And I'd like to be able to do it more frequently as well. You know, we try for every 2 weeks, but it would be great if we could consistently hit every 2 weeks. And if we could do it every week, that would be even better, you know. So, but to do that requires, you know, development of more solid content. And that's always been our major thing, is about having good content, the valuable content. And unlike a lot of shows where, you know, there's a growth curve that starts and people listen to more and more, what we've noticed in 5 years is that people go back and download all the shows. So the numbers just keep going up and up and up. People are still listening to the very first show. You know, hundreds of people download it every month that we did 5 years ago, you know, from a hospital bed. It's amazing.
It's amazing because in this digital space, a lot of things get lost, unfortunately, you know, the archives and stuff. You've also got some side projects that you've been bubbling up under the surface. I don't know if you want to tell people about those a little bit.
Yeah, I'm really keen, you know, my mentor, the person I've really learned from in life is Daisaku Ikeda. And when I think of what's really informed his life, or books that he recommends, you know, Walt Whitman and The Eternal City and The Count of Monte Cristo, and I'm thinking many people, some of these books are old now when I've gone to actually buy them to follow up on them, and they've been mimeographed, you know, they're not typeset. And we can count to Monte Cristo is obviously clearly there, but some of these books are so old that no one wants to kind of go to the extent of typesetting them, and they'll get lost, you know. So I'm thinking about how can we keep these stories alive. So I started doing some audio books that we're going to be doing as we go into the future. So I think that would be really interesting. And the first one is called The Lion of Flanders, you know, which is a book about knights and shining armour, and it's based on on history from Belgium, from Flanders, and it's a really exciting, meaty story. And it'll get lost if people don't, you know, if it doesn't take up a new format. And I think audiobooks, people have got time to listen, you know, when they're doing other things. But when you want them to read, you've got to compete for eyes with the television, with the internet, with video. But audio people can do while they're doing other things.
And you touched on a very interesting subject to me, a consumption of media and how it's changing. It's rapidly changed over the last 5 years since you started the show. We have a new device, which is on the horizon in the UK. It's already out in the US, the iPad. I know you're quite excited about that device.
I think the iPad is the computer interface starting to come into the realm of ordinary people and out of the realm of geekdom. And I think, yes, it doesn't do everything, but you know what? Most people don't do everything. You know, most people need a computer device nowadays to look at the internet, or to be able to catch up with their music or their friends on Facebook, or to be able to keep an eye on their diary, or to arrange things or send email. From that perspective, I think the devices like the iPad and the iPhone, probably Android as well, but I haven't seen the integration of the Android with the desktop yet. But I think devices like the iPad are custom made for the average person. I also think the interface, the touch interface, is the kind of interface that we've been waiting for. And I think that people are no longer disabled by not having keyboard skills. You know, it's removing what do you do with a mouse? It's removing what do you do with a keyboard, and it's bringing everything back to basics. It's almost like it's removing the computer and replacing it with a crayon on a piece of paper. Mm. It's going back to, you know, something that people intuitively know how to use. And I think that the whole effect of that, you know, at the same time as the demise of paper, and I don't think paper will ever truly go away, but there are so many disposable elements of paper, magazines and books that are pulping and repulping, and do we really need to print that much stuff? Do we really need to chop down so much trees? Do we really need to move around so much hardware? I think it limits publishers. I think it limits authors. And this ability now about publishing electronically that's available to people with, you know, with a little bit of knowledge, you can take the entire ownership yourself. And I think that is going to see a whole renaissance in writing and content that we've never... we haven't seen for a long, long time. I think it is, you know, a revolution.
I'm totally looking forward to you know, the every new device that Apple comes out with, they seem to up the ante of how they think people should be interacting with it. Obviously, they're looking at numbers and they're excited about building new hardware. But I think you're absolutely right. I think it feels natural. And I think when it feels natural, people will take to it a lot easier. And anything that helps it, social interaction between people, you know, I see the conversations, hear the conversations changing in pubs and clubs. Oh, went on Facebook or went on this. You know, since when did technology start, you know, the social revolution in terms of getting people to use them for communication? It's always been there, but now it seems to be more accessible than it ever was. Jason, thank you so much for letting me stay this weekend and start a Buddhist podcast behind the scenes. And I'm looking forward to working with you on it.
Mikasa Sukasa.